Muffin Talk with Beate. Kia ora and welcome to a Muffin Talk. Muffin Talk is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Centre in Ipsum. We are a centre for retreats, spiritual guidance, Christian meditation and personal development. Once a week, I invite a visitor to join me in the studio to talk about our centre, our programs, social justice or the Catholic Church. Today, my visitor is Father Chris Skinner. Father Chris, a warm welcome and hi to my radio program.
Kia ora, Beate.
Father Chris Skinner is a Maoist priest from New Zealand, living in Auckland at the moment, and he is presently involved in the formation of Maoist priests and brothers at the Maoist Seminary. Previously, he has worked with youth at risk, school chaplaincy, and pastoral work at an inner city parish. Father Chris, and you're a musician. Since when have you been making music?
All my life. Yeah, I as a little boy, I used to sing, and I'd get my other brothers and sisters to join me, and we'd put on little concert performances for my mum and dad. So we do a lot of, right from the very beginning, really. Music has been part of my life. But I started writing songs and playing the guitar when I was 16. My brother had a guitar. He hid it in the wardrobe, and I would take it out when he was at work, and I'd just teach myself. And then I suppose the confidence came when I was part of a little music group at the local parish and started playing publicly, started writing songs and sharing them with people, had very positive feedback, so that encouraged me to keep going.
Yeah. So it was really your passion. It was not that your parents made you practice every day so many hours.
No, there was nothing like that. No, in a way, I'm one of 10. I'm the ninth child. And some of my older brothers and sisters had that formal training in music. And I would have loved to have had that. But in another way, it meant that I could be very creative. I didn't know all the rules or the rules to break, you know, so I just I just did my own thing, more or less.
And you were still playing and singing with your siblings?
Yes, yes. Well, my mother's a singer. I've recorded a number of songs with my mum. Yeah. She died in 2 years ago. She was 96. So I have several songs that I sang with her, which are real gifts now. Yeah.
And you're working at the Maoist Seminary.
Yes.
And are you teaching music? Can you tell us more about the work?
Teaching music? Oh, well, not really. No, I don't teach music there. It's a formation house. So it's only what I would call a boutique seminary. Now, when I started in the seminary, there would have been probably about 70 students at three different houses. We have here in Auckland a small Maoist seminary in right in the city. We have three students. So it's quite a different scene now. And really, formation is about supporting these young guys in their discernment process regarding whether or not that they, you know, will be a Maoist priest or a brother. At the moment, we don't have any guys thinking about the brotherhood, but we do have three for the priesthood. One's from Australia, because we are the New Zealand-Australian seminary. One was born in Fiji and came here when he was 9. And grew up in West Auckland. And now we've got a young Māori guy who's joined us this year. So he was born here in Auckland.
Yeah.
So the three guys. Now, my role, well, is really to support them in the discernment process with the rector of the seminary. And we have another Maoist who's an older man. So he's like the wisdom character. We try to create a home, a Maoist community that these guys can kind of see and witness, hopefully. So they see us, we see them, and we are sort of having to make recommendations about these guys at the end of the year to higher authorities, see how they're going. So it's they're looking at us, we're looking at them. And I'm involved in all sorts of things, like with Maoist studies. We've got a lot of resources of our own history that I communicate with these guys. Also their pastoral outreach and talk to them about how that's going. There's various things they're involved in around the city. But their main focus is their academic studies, which is at Good Shepherd College, which is across the road from us.
So nothing about music?
No, the music. Well, the music with music, liturgy is a big thing for us.
Yes.
So our prayer in the mornings, our Eucharist, our prayer in the evening. We will often sing the Psalms. We will, I introduce a number of my songs to these guys. Whether or not we use them in our liturgy is a different story. I might use them in our retreat experiences. We do that kind of thing. I'll often share with them a new song that I've written and tell them what inspired it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so they certainly know. And I get out and about. I'm invited throughout New Zealand to do various concerts and things. So I have the opportunity still to do that kind of thing as well. So I try to have a bit of a balance. Yeah. I can't be doing that all the time. So I have my sort of day job, so to speak, but then I do get out and about sharing the music.
So I just had to think of a lady I met many years ago, and she said, oh, my grandson would be a great priest, but he can't sing.
Oh, well, not all priests can sing, of course, but it does help. It does. You know, especially if you're leading parts of the Mass. But then you've got choirs and other musicians, and you've got to draw on everybody's gifts, you know. But I am very grateful to have the gift of music.
Yeah, I believe so. For those of you who've just tuned in, you're listening to Muffin Talk with Beate. This program is brought to you by the Mercy Spirituality Center in Ipsum. If you miss any of our programs, please check out www.planetaudio.org.nz/muffintalk or visit our Facebook page or our website at Tingakawaiora Mercy Spirituality Center. My visitor today is Father Chris Skinner, and we've been talking about music and the Marist Seminary. And I hope that you'll get this passion for music to the new priests, the future priests.
Yeah, well, they do. I mean, they love, some of them love music, you know. Others sometimes think, oh, hang on, we're going to singing more stuff, you know. I mean, they can get a bit tired with it sometimes. But I think, you know, music is meant to enhance our liturgy. I mean, it's not the be-all and end-all, but music will help, you know. It takes us into another place, you know. It takes us into the depths of our hearts sometimes. It moves us, and we need our emotions engaged.
And I think that can be contagious if somebody's really passionate for music.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in some, I think in the tradition of the church, there was a lot more singing, or that was obliged to sing, and today there are some parts of the liturgy that can be sung or said.
Yes, that's right, yes. But we try to encourage in our, even though we're only small, we do quite a bit of singing and try and do all the parts of the Mass that should be sung. Yeah, sometimes we have high liturgy, sometimes we have low liturgy, so yeah. Just depends.
And, as I said, you're a singer, a songwriter, mm-hmm. a priest. And has it ever been a challenge for you to follow all these three vocations at the same time?
Yeah, people have asked me that over the years and said, why didn't you just become a singer? Well, I always felt the call to priesthood as well when I was a young person. And when I entered the seminary, we did have so much music in the seminary. There were so many of us, we even performed, produced musicals. And one particular time, we performed the musical Godspell, and a small group of us got together, and we were the players for that musical. We went round the Napier prison, we went to colleges up and down the North Island. So we did a huge outreach with the music. So music was very much part of that formation that I had. And it appealed to me because music was so much part of my life. And I used to write songs even in my seminary training. We'd learn a lot of the new music that was coming out. So, but the tension came more when I left the seminary because I wanted to kind of develop the music, and I wanted to record my music. And, you know, of course, that's funding. And how was I going to do that, you know? And I asked the Society for the funds.
The Society of Mary.
Yeah, the Society of Mary. A little bit of resistance earlier on, And so I got the support of a Marist priest who was recording in Australia, and that's Kevin Bates, and asked him whether or not did he think this was a good idea. And he was very supportive. So he wrote a letter to support my request. And so the Society of Mary did, in fact, help me with the initial funding for my first album. So from then on, after the sale of some of those recordings, and with the support of other friends who were very supportive of the music, some more funding came. And I just carried on from there. So each album kind of funds the next one. Mm-hmm. That's sort of how it's worked. Now, yeah, some people have found it. You know, and I've heard even within my own family, you know, this is what a priest should be doing. You know, and it's not really getting up in front of people and doing concerts and things like that. For me, it hasn't been a problem. For me, it's really part of my ministry as well, the ministry of being priest. Priests bring the various gifts that they have to their ministry, and music, you know, is so much part of who I am. I think I'd be denying, you know, the God-given gift if I didn't use it. And I've had so many people encouraging me, keep it going, keep it going. But it was a little bit different in the early days.
I think it would be easier if you were a poet or if you were an academic and writing about some academic things.
Interesting, isn't it? It is interesting. You're right. Yes. And that's not to decry academic work,
oh, no.
Because it's wonderful.
I think you need both.
You do. You absolutely do. And so me writing songs and singing and performing, it's just another way. There are different paths, and it appeals. Some things will appeal to people while other things don't. Mm. And I know from what people have shared with me, they've thanked me for a number of the songs I've written. I remember a family who lost one of their children with a car accident, and one of my songs called Lovely Young Person, for them, enabled them to articulate what was going on inside of them. They couldn't express it in words, but in listening to the song, it really helped them to kind of get in touch with those feelings, those such sad feelings that they were dealing with.
But isn't it also that mothers, at least I remember even my mother who didn't sing much, but still when she wanted to comfort us, she would sing.
Wonderful, yeah. Powerful, yeah.
For the year 2018 at Our Mercy Spirituality Center, we've chosen the topic of connectedness, and of course music connects.
It does, yeah.
And you composed and sung a song called Connected. We are connected.
Yeah, we are connected, yes.
Do you still remember the background of that song?
I knew you were going to ask me that, Beate. I wrote this way back in the middle 90s. Now, I used to have a songbook with all the songs I wrote, and I put in the little corner, you know, what inspired the song.
Yeah.
I was desperately trying to find it, and I can't find it. It'll be in my house. I'm a typical musician, everything all over the place. So I was thinking, I can't actually remember what was the spark for the song. But I can tell you in the 90s, I was involved with the Sisters and Brothers for Justice. I was part of that network. I was chaplain at De La Salle College in South Auckland. I was also working with a program for youth at risk in West Auckland. I was part of the People's Centre here in Auckland as well. So it was very much people on the edge, and often people who feel disconnected. Mm-hmm. And also the ecumenical movement, of course, and just acknowledging all those different groups, all those people that feel disconnected. We are connected, whatever, you know, whatever background we've come from, culture, all of those things.
And you're saying we are connected like branches to the tree.
To the tree, yes.
Just like
yes.
The picture of God's vineyard.
That's right. You know, I am the vine, you are the branches. Exactly. Mm-hmm. You know, and it is. You know, in writing a song, you can't always... words it can be difficult, really, lyrics. Mm. You know, you get a pattern going and then you're trying to find the words, grapple with the words that can fit, you know, how the song is developing. But certainly The Vine and the Branches is very much part of that idea.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the song continues, "We all walk the planet, let's walk with dignity, no matter our colour, no matter our creed, mm-hmm. all of us are gifted and all of us we need." In a way, this is kind of the connectedness we want to show in the Mercer Spirituality Center, especially this year.
Good on you, Beata.
But I think that we should listen to the song.
Right.
We are connected like branches to the tree. We all walk the planet.
Beautiful song. I think that you should send a copy to Pope Francis. He would like it.
Wouldn't it be great if he could listen to it?
Oh, yes.
He might invite me to the Vatican.
Have you been to the Vatican?
I have.
Before Pope Francis' time?
Yes, before Pope Francis.
Before Laudato Si?
Well, no, actually not before. I was in Rome last year, so no, I was.
Yeah,
but he wasn't there, though. Well, I didn't see him.
Next time you leave him a CD there. And because when you sing "We Are Connected, One Great Family," because I remember also Pope Benedict was mentioning one human family.
Yes.
And that we are all connected.
It's so needed, isn't it? Yeah. I have another song too called "Hands Across the World." And I was at a youth gathering prior to the World Youth Day that it was held in Sydney. And we had all these young people, over 600, from all different parts of the world, including some young Palestinians. And you know of all the difficulties they experience and the wall that is between Israel and the Palestinian territories. And just to see all these young people gathered together, they crossed the divide of the, you know, in the big hall we were in, down the aisles, and we all came together, we joined hands together, and for me, it was kind of like a symbol. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we as a world could be united like this, what we were experiencing in that place? You know, it was an experience of, well, God's kingdom, right, present right there and then, you know. And so I wrote the song Hands Across the World. So it kind of connects, well, using that word connect, there we go, with your whole theme as well. And I sang it when I was in Bethlehem, at the Bethlehem University there, with some of these young Palestinians when I did a pilgrimage 2 years ago to the Holy Land. And it was very moving to have these young people there.
And even if we think here in Auckland we have such a multicultural society, and in our parish in Beach Haven, it's just a small parish, but when we put our altar cloth of the different nationalities that are represented in the parish up,
yes,
we have 26 different flags.
Amazing, isn't it?
And we have every second month a multicultural mass, and in that mass we sing songs in different languages. But it's not that the Tongan sing the Tongan and the Samoans the Samoan song, but everybody sings the Tongan songs. Everybody is Samoan. Everybody, the Filipino, and we even have one German song tonight since I joined.
Yes, fair enough.
And that is also a sign that we are connected. We are all trying our best to pronounce the words correctly.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good on you.
So music is a connecting and peaceful instrument, isn't it?
It certainly is. Songs, either, well, if you think of a lot of cultural songs, like Pokari Kariana, for example, when I travel overseas, it's an international song. You know, people connect with New Zealand with that particular song. Yes,
and every country has its national anthem.
Yes, absolutely.
So it must be in the human being that we all that we like singing.
Well, some years ago I was I went to all these, it was a music festival that I was part of, but there were Russians there were people from the Czech Republic, and I was with a Tongan group, and we had all these different cultures from around the world, and we performed in the village squares in Italy, and people come out at late at night, you know, it was a wonderful experience of, you know, cultures coming together and sharing music and dance.
Do you think that the Marist have a special connection also to music? Because I'm just thinking of Mom Maria and the printing press in Pompalia House, where there were lots of prayers and songs that were printed.
Yes, well, Mom Maria, of course, is a it has a very special what we call it. It's almost like an icon, really, in this country. It's attributed to Bishop Pompalia, the words in Maori. And it's sung all over the place in this country. It's a very precious song. For us, in the Society of Mary, that song here in this country is another one is Kawaiata, written by Richard Puanaki, who lives in Wairoa, who was a Marist. And there are songs like Salve Regina, that's going back to the old tradition, but Marists sing that all over the place. And we have when we have professions, we also have a unique song that we sing when guys take their first vows and their final vows.
What is it called?
It's O Maria. O Maria. Well, actually, I'm saying it like a Maori would, but O Maria. O Maria. Yeah. But it's again in Latin. Yeah. But this connects us back to the tradition, you know, in the early days. Yeah. So these songs have great power about them, because they just didn't come out of thin air. You know, we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us.
And isn't it amazing when you say these songs can connect us through centuries?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or even you might hear a song that connects you to your youth or to your childhood.
Mm.
But the same way as Salve Regina, in German we say Salve Regina, or others say Salve Regina.
Yes.
And it connects us to all over the world.
Absolutely.
We sing the same song. It's always slightly different, but
yes.
It is more or less the same.
Yeah, no, it's, your music has power. People will connect a song with a particular event in their lives too, or even, I mean, even pop songs. They do connect people to their youth or some occasion that happened in their lives that meant something.
So it's interesting you mentioned something that you had a spark for a song. So this kind of trigger moment.
Yes.
And then the same thing can happen when you hear the song. Then again, you have another trigger moment because it come, the time comes back.
Yes, exactly.
And so when we hear the song, we are connected. And so through the year, we are trying to connect faith and spirituality, people of different walks of life. And I think that the ecumenical movement, they also try to use music to connect. Like a few years ago, there was an exchange of songs. The Methodist gave a song, dedicated a song to the Catholics, and the Catholics to the the Methodists.
Did they? What a wonderful thing! So was it composed?
No, it was.
It was just a song, a dedication. Yeah,
it was okay. A song that was used already and was almost like an anthem for that faith, for that denomination. And so it was another song was introduced from the other denomination, which I thought was a beautiful moment where you can say these songs, they mean something for the other group. And you learn the song and at the same time you're learning about their way of worshiping.
Okay. You know, we have to come together on those things that we have in common too, you know, and there are so many things that do connect us.
Yeah.
And music is one way.
Yeah.
Scripture, of course, is another way.
Yeah. Well, thank you very much, Father Chris. I think we'll have another song at a different time, and then we'll learn more about the next song.
Well, thank you, Beate.
And you stay connected with us.
I will, I will. And all the best for all the work you're doing there at the Mercy Spirituality Centre.
Thank you very much. And, what is coming up now in the next 2 weeks is on Thursday, the 15th of March and the 22nd of March, we will have the two last parts of this year's Lenten Talks with Father Stuart Zeller. This series follows up on Father Stuart's Lenten Talks from last year, but it is expanded with one more session, and all sessions take place in the evening this time. And on Sunday, the 25th of March, from 1:30 to 3:30, we'll have our gathering in Mercy. If you'd like to come and gather with like-minded people, please don't hesitate to register. We have different speaker every time that we have this gathering in Mercy, and it's for anybody who's interested in learning more and sharing about Mercy Sisters and Mercy. And the first program in April will be our ecology series with Mary Betts and Sister Bridget Crisp. For all our events at the center, please register with us per phone at Auckland 09-638-6238 or through our website at www.mercyspiritualitycentre.org.nz. I wish you all a good Friday and a blessed week ahead, and thank you, Father Chris, for coming.
Mercy is timeless.